Welcome to Torah Tzimecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we are studying Perek Chaf Bet of Melachim Bet. Yoshiyahu is described in Pasuk Bet as a king who did Hayashar B'Enei Hashem and followed in the steps of David HaMelech. How was he able to do that after following Menashe and Amon? In terms of the cultural influence of Ashur, it seems at this later time in their history, it had less allure, since Ashur's empire was weaker and about to be overtaken by Bavel. Although this perek jumps right away to the events of Yoshiyahu's 18th year, when he undertakes the Bedek HaBayit, as seen starting in Pasuk Gimel, according to Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Lamed Dalet, Yoshiyahu first conducts a major Avodah Zarah cleanup in his 12th year from the time period of Amon and Menashe, and only then does he turn to purifying the Beit HaMikdash itself. In removing the Avodah Zarah, Pasuk Dalet in Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Lamed Dalet, tells us that he broke everything used to serve idols and ground them to dust. This extreme destruction may have been a reaction to the lesser quality of Avodah Zarah removal job that Menashe, his grandfather, had done by only throwing items outside the city and making it too easy for Amon, Yoshiyahu's father, to bring them back into the city to renew idol worship. Yoshiyahu's sphere of influence was not only Yehuda, but it mentions in Divrei Hayamim as well that his eradication of Avodah Zarah reached to Arei Menashe v'Ephraim, Vishimon ad Naphtali, as he traveled there. It had been 200 years since Yehoash was king and had conducted his Bedek HaBayit. Yoshiyahu at age 8, when he begins to rule, resembles his predecessor Yehoash, who also was a very young king who conducted the Bedek HaBayit, the big undertaking during his career. Yoshiyahu sends a message to Chilkiah the Kohen Gadol in Pasuk Dalet to repair it once again. This account seems different than that in Perek Yud Bet with Yoash as king, as there was no tension here between Melech and Kohen. In addition, Chilkiah finds a Sefer Torah hidden in the Beit HaMikdash, which he gives to Shafan the Sofer. The Radak says that it is not surprising, given that the scroll was probably not used during the time periods of Menashe and Amon. The shock at discovering the scroll was immense, considering how many years the community was not practicing the laws of the Torah and were not familiar with them. It was a significant time period, 55 years of Menashe, 2 of Amon, and the first 18 years of Yoshiyahu, where they had not come into contact with a Sefer Torah. The Abarbanel disagrees with the Radak based on Menashe's tshuva, which according to him was 33 years before his death, which means that there was substantial time for him to come into contact with a Sefer Torah. He thinks that this scroll was hidden from Menashe because it was an original Sefer Torah that dated back to Moshe. It was written by Moshe himself. Menashe was going around destroying words from the Sifrei Torah, so therefore it was hidden from him. Gemara Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Bet 102 says that Menashe was known to replace Hashem's name in the Torah with names of foreign deities. When this Torah scroll was discovered, it was found between two rows of stones. Since it dated back to Moshe, it was the holiest Sefer Torah to exist, so the discovery was celebrated. That's why in Pasuk Chet, it's referred to as Sefer HaTorah, instead of just a Sefer Torah. The Sforno has a different approach concerning the discovered Torah scroll. In Parshat Vayelech, at the end of Sefer Devarim, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Tet, it says, Vayichtov Moshe, Et haTorah hazot vayitzna el haKohanim b'nei Levi. The Sforno says what Moshe wrote down and handed over to the Kohanim was Parshat HaMelech, the psukim related to the king from Devarim Perek Yod Zayin, that was read aloud to the nation in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hakel every 7 years in the year following a Shemitah year. This is the scroll of Moshe that was found. The goal of Hakel was for the people of all generations to hear these words of Torah and learn to fear Hashem. Based on this understanding, we can gain greater appreciation for Yoshiyahu's subsequent reaction and mission following this scroll's discovery. The Malbim points out that a subliminal message was being sent with the discovery of the Sefer Torah. While they were focusing on the Bedek HaBayit and repairing the physical structure of the Mikdash, the Bayit HaChitzoni, they are being told not to forget about the Bayit HaPnimi, the inner Heichal, which is Ma'asim Tovim, represented by the Sefer Torah. The Beit HaMikdash is just a physical building of Hashem's Shechina. But the Sefer Torah, it focuses on the people behaving sincerely and devoutly, which is important if the Shechina is going to remain in the physical building. Yirmiyahu becomes Navi during the kingship of Yoshiyahu. Some of the words of rebuke he offers in his Nevuot were about the dependence of the Jews of his generation on the external building. Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, as mentioned in Perek Zion. They were focused on the external parts of the Mikdash and relied on having the actual building and sacrifices, but their behavior was not improved and did not match, and there was a disconnect. When they discovered this Torah, instead of it being rolled to the beginning, as was the usual practice, they were alarmed when they found that it was open to the psukim from the Tochacha, the section of curses. There were two versions in the Midrash of what pasuk it was open to. One says the words that the scroll was open to the words, Arur ha'ish asher lo yakim et divrei ha'Torah hazot. Cursed is a person who does not uphold these words from the Torah. Definitely sending a message. The other version says the scroll opened to the words in Sefer Dvarim, Perek, Kafchet, Pasuk, Lamed, Vav, Yolech Hashem Otcha v'et Malchecha asher takim alecha, El Hagoy asher lo yadata ata v'avotecha. Talking about how Hashem will lead the people into Galut along with their king. This one hit closer to home. Yoshiyahu rips his clothes in mourning when he hears this because he understood it was informing him of the impending exile. For Yoshiyahu, this was very perplexing and led him to question everything he was doing. Why did he get this message now, after all he was doing to purify the land from Avodah Zarah? Should he have done something else? Was he not doing enough? In order to clarify his life's mission, he seeks out the word of Hashem through a Navi. In Melechim Bet, it says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, L'chu dirshu et Hashem ba'adi uba'ad ha'am uba'ad kol Yehuda. He wants to seek out the word of Hashem concerning the fate of himself, the nation, and the people of Yehuda. In Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek, Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, his goal is more explicit. L'chu dirshu et Hashem ba'adi uba'ad ha'nishar b'Yisrael u'b'Yehuda. His inclusion of the northern kingdom is clear there. According to the Midrash, there were three prophets during this time, Huldah, Yirmiyahu, and Tzefaniah. Yirmiyahu gave Nevuah in the streets, Tzefaniah in the synagogues, and Huldah to the women. Chilkiah and the others go to Huldah, the Nevi'ah, to seek out the word of Hashem here. The Gemara Megillah discusses why they went specifically to her and not to Yirmiyahu, who became Navi already during the 13th year of Yoshiyahu. And the conclusion is they went to someone known to be merciful, hoping for a softer message from Hashem. The other opinion in the Gemara brought down is that Yirmiyahu was not in Malchut Yehuda at that time because he was working on bringing back the Aseret HaShvatim. If you recall, Huldah's husband, mentioned in Pasuk Yudalit, is identified as Shalom ben Tikva. Some commentators had identified him as the righteous person that Elisha's bones revived earlier back in Perek Yud Gimel. Huldah's message to the people, starting in Pasuk Tedvav, was about the impending Churban due to Avodah Zarah, but there was a special message directed at Yoshiyahu in Pasuk Yud Chet, recognizing his righteousness and rejection of idolatry, his mourning over what was going to happen. Ya'an rach levavcha vatichna mipnei Hashem, vatikra et bigadecha, vativke lefanai. Because of these things, he is reassured in Pasuk Chaf that he will not be alive to witness when the bad comes. Hineni osifcha el avotecha, then esafta el kivrotecha b'shalom. He will go to the grave in peace. This message sounds familiar to the one Chizkiyahu was given as well in Perek Chaf. How does Yoshiyahu react? Does he show complacency after hearing this, like Chizkiyahu? Or does this motivate him to work harder to remove Avodah Zarah? The answer to this question will be in the next perek, as the story continues. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.